Well, good morning, everyone. How are you all? So we are going to be, our scripture reading, where we're going to be talking about today is Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. As I was going through and I was thinking about what to do or talk about, I was already learning this in our youth group, and that's what they were learning today. So with everything that we had to do today, because we're also learning a song and a song and a verse to recite for when the missionary comes here that's going to be speaking, Justin Peters. We didn't get very far in our lesson, so when we read our scripture verse, I said, well, this is good. This is going to work, because you're going to get to hear it anyway when we go into church. So that's where we stopped at. If you looked it up, we'll go ahead and read. It's going to be a little rough at first. I do read rough, but it'll get better as we go on. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them receiving a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So we have this parable, this labor, or this master that goes out and he wants to get laborers to work in his vineyard. As a common practice back in Israel at the time, or in that culture, they went and while they were working, they took and they, you probably wouldn't have enough laborers. So people that would just work for day laborers, they'd all meet at the marketplace early in the morning. And while they were, and they would wait there, and then people would come early in the morning to look for people they could hire to put in their field for the day. So it kind of ain't like the how we work today where you have a job all week. They would just end up there, the people that needed work to supply their families. Two, what was neat or what was different about it, there's other scripture that talks about it. That's why you paid your people by day, not by week, because you won't have the same people, and they're there to get their food for their day because they need the money that they're getting. So you have a so the people we're going to talk about first were the laborers, and the first ones that he picked were the ones that came there earlier. They're early. They wanted to be there early, so they would have the best chance of getting picked. But also, they had a stipulation. They wanted a contract. They wanted to talk with the person that was going to hire them, and they were going to settle on the wage, and then that's what they wanted to be paid. So the first people that he came to wanted that contract, and then they took and they talked about it. Got it figured out, and then the master says, good. So yeah, I guess as the master's walking around, it sounds like this guy has plenty of money. And just to let you too, this is just the story that Jesus is telling to get the gist of what he's trying to get across to the people he's talking to. The next master comes, or the next, he comes back at 9 o'clock and finds more people still in there that hasn't been hired yet. And then he tells them to go into the vineyard. And it's verses 3 and 4, so he asks them to go into the vineyard. And they are willing and glad, and they not worried about a contract at all. They're just glad they got picked. So they go, and then he comes back, and it tells you the hour. So that would have been about 9 o'clock. The next is 12 and 3. He comes back, finds more people that still want to work, and then he sends them out into the vineyard. And then he finally goes out at the 11th hour. And when he goes out at the 11th hour, he does the same thing. He finds, now, it's a 12-hour workday. It goes from 6 to 6. The 11th hour is 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he happens back in the marketplace and seeing people in there that they've not been picked. So he asked them why, and they said, no one's hired us all day, so we're just waiting, hoping that someone's going to hire. And he says, well, you go into my vineyard and work. So at that point, the person that's there at 5 o'clock and ain't got picked yet, his hope's about gone for getting food for the day or getting something to eat or even getting work. And then this guy, he's like, yeah, go out in my vineyard. Okay, so he sends him out into his vineyard. This is all representing God and his workers in his vineyard. Our vineyard that God has given us is right through those doors. It's giving, he's called us to give the message to people we come in contact with, so we are to tend his vines and his stuff out there. Some of us water, some of us throw seed, some of us like planting stuff. We tend God's stuff as we go out. We come here, we get strengthened, and then we go back out. So God wants us to work in his vineyard. I think the laborers, the first representation of that, when I was looking at my commentary, the first one is Israel. They wanted a contract, and they feel like they are his chosen people, and they, and then through history, they've held that at a standard. And then you have the other laborers that are hired. So you got two types of people. You've got Israel and you have Gentiles. The Gentiles are the ones that came and they just went out in the field. They didn't ask for a wage, but they understood who Christ was. Israel didn't understand who Christ was. So they worked with the master on getting their wage in the right spot versus the Gentiles that come to know Christ. They know where God is at, so they're not worried about what's getting paid. They know what's in the income or the outcome at the end. So the first part of the sermon was over the laborers. The second part is the vineyard, the work He calls us to do. One thing I've learned about, I've worked 30 years at a nursery. And working 30 years at a nursery, I know how to prune plants to make them look better, make them grow. I don't know much about fruit trees because everything we have is ornamental, but we do have some fruit trees and started doing different strawberries. But I learned suckers. You got to cut them off. They just rob nutrients from the whole plant. Gordon's very familiar with this. Trimming the suckers off. Sometimes you might have a branch that is so loaded with apples, it's stressing the tree. And you'll have to cut that branch off or it's going to break the tree. You got to thin out some things. Sometimes the apple trees, I heard of something called a June drop. Like in June, sometimes an apple tree will, if it has too much fruit, it'll drop some of its fruit automatically. Other times, you got to prune it out. And then that helps the other fruit get better and more nutrients in it. God does the same way with us. Sometimes we have sin in our life, and God has to cut that part out of us. As we're growing as Christians, and we're going through things, I think that was one reason why He always used agriculture. It was something that they knew that hit them at home, and then two, it kind of hits us, or kind of it hit them, and they understood what He was getting at, because they all were doing it. You had to raise your own food. It wasn't like you could run to the grocery store and get something. Your marketplace, you might go, but you were getting the necessities of like wheat, flour, probably stuff like that. You had your animals at home, and you would be raising animals so you could eat those as well. Or you could go to the marketplace and maybe buy those. But at the same time, going into the vineyard, there would be trimming the vines. You'd harvest the different branches. I never really got to work with grapes too much, but I know that on grapes and blackberries and stuff, you get suckers on them as too. And the bad thing about those suckers is they rob everything. They get bigger quicker and will choke out the other plant. So if you're not paying attention to what's bearing fruit and what's not, and getting rid of what's not bearing fruit, it will hurt your crop. Your grapes won't be as good. You also had the people, so say when he was hiring his help out, going in there, the other thing you had to take care of is weeds. They choke out the plants. And then someone comes to water. Someone comes that sometimes you got to break new ground and plant new plants. And the harvest time, you have to have someone to bring in the harvest. Until 2001, I worked on a tobacco farm. So every year we did tobacco. That is something, if you have a lot of kids and you lived on a farm around here, that's what you did. And what was neat about that is it kept you busy from the spring all the way until Christmas or a little after, because you'd have to go out and break the ground early March and start getting it ready. And then after you'd start getting it ready, you would go out and you would plow. Or you'd plow, disc it, then you'd set the tobacco. And then, okay, the big thing with tobacco is it grows slow in the cool, early season. It ain't until it gets hot and dry in August that plant starts to grow. So the big thing is we were always out hoeing the weeds out of it, because it would choke it out real quick if you didn't keep you had to keep it dirt. And then once August hit, that stuff, when that hot sun would come out, it would jump. And it would go from maybe knee-high to over your head. It'd be 6 feet tall. The And then we'd be out there, and then you'd have to break the flowers out of it because you want leaves, big leaves. So you'd go break all the flowers out of it, and you'd have to treat it so it wouldn't grow more suckers. So you would have your bigger leaves. And then you'd have to cut it. And around here we called it hanging burley, so we would cut it and then hang it in a barn. And then after we do that, then you'd have to get it down 2 months later and then pull all the leaves off the stalk. And then you would put it in bales and then take it to the market and then sell it. That's how my family supplemented the income. My dad was a dump truck driver, and then that's how we supplemented our income. We did that all year long as well. The reason I'm telling you that is watching all that, when I read this, I can see the intensity of the work and everything going on through what they're trying to tell them, and the hired of the vineyard and the amount of work that it goes in to take care of it. The next part of this is the third part of it. And then it's talking about the master. And we all know who the master is. It's Jesus Christ. And then he wanted to take, and he said, start it at the last and pay him first. And then work to the first and pay him last. The part of Jesus and what he was doing, I think he was trying to show the people he hired first because of the point of where they were asking him something. And two, he was teaching. Who do you think he was talking to when he was teaching this parable? Do we understand why he started using parables? He started speaking in parables. For the ones to understand, they will know what it means. But for those who are not to understand, they will not know what it means. That was the whole reason he started speaking in parables. So being a Christian and understanding God's word, that was for us to hear. Everybody else, as it says, it's foolishness to them. They don't understand it. Christ paying out at the end is like us receiving our heavenly, us going to heaven. We're all going to be in the same. This was something too I wanted to talk about the laborers that I kind of forgot about. It doesn't matter. If you're Christians, you're all on the same playing field. It doesn't matter what I do or what Joseph does or what Tom does. As God has given us an assigned job that he wants us to do. He wants us to work in his vineyard, but I might be carrying all the water buckets. Tom is doing all the calculations. Joseph's over there. He is doing everything as fast as he can do it. Okay, so Tom knows down to the T how much grape juice we're going to get and how much grapes we can sell so we don't run out of grape juice. Joseph's over there just happy as a guy. He's just happy for his pennies and pulling weeds, and he'll do what everybody asks. Me, I'm just the big guy. Okay, I'll carry the water. Yeah. So, I mean, we all have an assigned job. So Tom's good at math, and Tom's good at calculation. We don't need to be looking at Tom and going, why ain't he helping me carry the water? And we don't need to go, why ain't Joseph helping Tom figure out the math stuff? We all have our assigned job, and we want to take and serve our master what he called us to do, not what everybody else is doing. Sometimes we get all focused and we wonder, in our flesh, we'll get all focused and we start looking at people. I can tell you, once you get in that situation, just look up at God. It puts it right back in focus. If something's bothering you about something or somebody, don't worry about what they're doing. Just worry about what God has asked you to do. God don't leave you out on your own. There will be someone that will come alongside you. For the longest time, my son is now 18 years old. When my son was younger, he was, I can't remember when he started homeschooling. My wife started homeschooling him. I lost my assistant manager at work. And then the next 2 years, I really hated working there because I gave her all of her responsibility came right back in my lap. And then I had other people hired, but I'm sorry, when you're married with someone and you both work and you learn how to work with each other as a married couple, it's so easy at that point because you know she's got your back and I've got her back. And whatever we're doing, even though there's trouble coming, we are okay with what we're doing because we have each other's. And I don't have to double check her and she don't have to double check me because that's a good helpmate. I lead and then she picks up where I'm falling short and follows behind. That is so great. Well, right after she left, I had like 3 years that were horrible. And then I keep getting people and they keep changing. And then finally, I was praying and then guess what? God sent me somebody. He sent me Joseph. And then that was nice because I had someone to work with and someone on the same side of things where I was working with him and he was working with me, and that was nice. The big thing that and I'm sorry I left you. Yeah, I totally left him. I quit my job Friday was my last day, and I started the museum on Monday. But what do you call it? So Christ, he pays us, and I wanted to reread 8 through 16. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, being with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received their denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" Noting that they agreed what he was getting. I'm going to work with you a day. And then they had a contract out. Would it have been wrong? I don't know. I mean, on my own thinking, if someone came and he's like, he wanted to be more generous, anybody that came afterward, he could have gave him more if he wanted to. But I think the reason he didn't was probably because he was showing the ones in the front, if you weren't on a contract, you could have made more. Because note, they were there 12 hours. That would have been 12 pennies if he was doing an hour a penny. So they could have made that. But to their surprise, when he came up and he got the first one, they're thinking 12. And then he goes down to the one that came at like 6 o'clock. And then they're just watching it get cut down. Got all the way down to the one that came at 9 o'clock. And he paid them a penny. They realized, man, we're only getting 2 pennies. And we've been here all day. That's what they're thinking in their mind. And then all at once he gives them a penny. And then they're upset. And it's like, dude, we bore heat all day. We were here early and this is all we get? And he's like, I did you no wrong. You agreed with me for a penny a day. Take what is yours. Take what belonged to you and go. I chose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last. The nice thing was the guy that only worked 1 hour, he got a penny. That what was generosity about that? That poor guy, he went to work and didn't realize what he was getting and only worked an hour. But at the same time, the master realized that his family has to eat. He has to eat just as well. And it's kind of showing you through the different laborers. Some of us have to work harder than others. Some of us work our whole life. One of the greatest things there was, one of the greatest illustrations of this is the thief on the cross. He didn't even get to work in God's vineyard, but he got the same pay as everybody else did. And the thief on the cross, who do we know? He could have affected somebody there. The Roman soldier, he heard what he said. When they were persecuting Jesus while they were hanging there, and then he finally spoke up while the other thief was taunting him. Dude, we have done due justice for our crime. We're getting what we did and what we put this on ourselves, but he has done nothing. And then he asked Jesus, remember me when I come in my kingdom. And he said, you will be with me today in paradise. So we see God working, and we don't all have the same job or the same abilities, but God has called us in every way that we can be submissive and do things for him. He has called us the same way. He's given us a job, and our job is to be obedient and submissive to what he asked us to do. We just need to make sure that we're in God's word and we take and we are, what do you call it, working on our sanctification process. We all have sin in our lives. But if we're giving in to sin, it's like we're dead weight. We can't be used. But if we are growing in Christ, leading men, leading our families in Christ, and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, God works through us. And two, it's God is guiding us and in the work that we do. I had one quote here that I wanted to read, and it was from John MacArthur. In other words, everyone finishes in a dead heat. No matter how long the workers worked, they all received a full day's wage. Similarly, the thief on the cross will enjoy a full blessing of heaven alongside those who labored their whole lives. For Christ, such is the grace of God. I wrote that one down because I like that one. And then one other quote that was from J. Vernon McGee. He, in his commentary, when I wrote it, he put down, the one thing that I'm going to be surprised is I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to see maybe this old lady that was in part of our church group, and I'm going to ask my church leader, now what did she do? And he's going to say, I don't know. She didn't sing in the choir. She wasn't part of any of the societies. And then he wrote a little side note in there. That was the one widow that faithfully raised her one son, that her son went off to be in a foreign mission field. And then that's, so everybody has their job. Everybody has what they're supposed to do. let's be diligent at what we're doing and not lose heart. Sometimes it does seem hard, and sometimes it seems long and not getting anywhere, but we're all going everywhere at God's speed because He's planned out everything. The other thing is, you can only be in this and understanding this if you're in God's family. So I wanted to invite anybody, if you need to know any more about Christ, or if God today has been talking to you, or if you just want to come up and pray and ask God during our invitation time, if pray and ask God to better lead you or direct you, please come forward at that time.